This episode of How Was Your Run Today is being sponsored by
Newmark Grubb Knight Frank. Newmark Grubb Knight Frank is one of the world's leading commercial real estate brokerage and advisory firms. Whether your business is a small tech or service firm looking to grow into professional space, or an established multi-city business with operations everywhere, NGFK can help you navigate the market and empower you to make optimal real estate decisions for your company. Executive Managing Director David Martell and his team have advised firms of all sizes on their leases, from 400,000 square feet to as little as 1,500 square feet, and they've sold some of Boston's most iconic properties, such as the Hancock Tower, Converse Headquarters, and 699 Boylston Street, which sits right at the finish line of the Boston Marathon.
Hey, Peter, I've run past that building.
Yeah, the one time you did, Brian. The one time.
For more information about Newmark Grubb Knight Frank, call 617-863-8525. Again, Peter, that's 617-863-8525, or visit ngkf.com.
Newmark Grubb Knight Frank. Global presence, local expertise.
Hey, Peter.
Brian, this is episode 40, and it's going to be very special and different. But before we get into the nuts and bolts of all that.
Yes, sir.
Can you step inside the medical tent with me?
I need a run.
10 cc's of running stat. Okay, so I did go to a specialist, thank you.
Okay, what sort of specialist?
A foot and ankle specialist.
Oh, that's appropriate for an Achilles problem. Yes, good.
Although I'm not a medical doctor, I was correct.
Actually, legally, I have to say neither am I.
I was correct in assuming that it was Achilles tendonitis, and it is on my left ankle.
Well, at least you have a name for it.
And then while I was there, two for one special, I checked.
They looked at both.
Well, I had been having some issues with my right one in the last week or two or three, and that is called post-tib tendonitis in the right, most likely brought on because I'm favoring my right leg over my left.
Compensation!
Yeah. So the doctor was excellent, and when he was examining me, I immediately apologized for my midnight blue toes.
He
did not care one wink at
I'm
all
sure
about
it's not
that.
The strangest thing he's ever seen on someone's
Probably
foot.
Probably not. So here's what he did. He gave me the full exam, and then he said, okay, here's what we're going to get you on, an anti-inflammatory
right
for 14 days, and then you're going to go and you're going to buy stabilizing inserts to your shoes, because the source of my problem, and this may ring true for many people who are listening, is I'm over-pronating, right?
The inward roll of the ankle.
Yep, so I need a bigger
stabilizer.
Arch support and stabilizer. Right. So
as we grow, many of our arches fall.
And
I can attest.
I can tell you, having had those now in my shoes for about 4 days, it's making a tremendous difference, as is the anti-inflammatory. I honestly feel like right now I could go for a good 5 miles.
And that is the danger, right, sir?
Well, here's the story. He really said very seriously, hey, you can't run for 4 weeks. You can't do anything that's full body weight for four weeks. So he suggested the gym, you know, weight training.
Bicycle,
swimming. So there's other things I can do. It puts me in a precarious position a little bit.
For the New York City Marathon.
Yeah, but we'll see. I do a follow-up with him first week of September. We'll see how I'm doing.
I think you're going to be good. And the reason I say that is because if the inserts and the anti-inflammatory had such a marked effect so quickly, I think all signs point to a quick recovery.
I agree with that, and I think it's, as you know, 60 to 90% mental.
Well, I think your mental is what kept you from going to the doctor a month ago, to be perfectly honest. Hey, I'll tell you this too, and we were speaking of this earlier. I think maybe the footwear during your commute, your walking commute to work, was probably causing as much problem or all the problem
most likely,
as running.
It was most likely the walking more than the running. That's right. And that's probably where the majority of my overpronation was happening. Sure. So I've learned a lot. And
good footwear, folks.
It's really everything that matters is good footwear. And when you feel that you have a problem, just go seek medical attention. Do not be a stupid male like me.
Treat all injuries like they're real injuries.
Oh, that's a good one. Now, we got to cut right to the chase because this is a Jimmy Jam-packed episode.
Peter, you said something earlier. This is our 40th episode.
Thank you.
Happy birthday to us.
Oh.
It's not really a birthday.
No.
Celebratory. Do you know what is so exciting about this week's episode?
I don't.
Before we began this adventure called How Was Your Run Today?
Yes.
We had run the Boston Marathon.
The one time.
We had we were completionists of the Boston Marathon.
That's right.
We were pretty regular runners.
You were okay.
We had heard of something called November Project.
Oh, in the wind. Out there. We knew of something going on.
And, you know, we really didn't participate. We didn't know much about it. I read an article in Runner's World. That was about it. We interviewed Caleb Daniloff, who is a sort of a neighbor of yours, if you will, who had written a book about them with the two founders, Brogan and Boyne. We had him in. He's a ton of fun, on mic and off.
Yeah.
And he encouraged us to go try it out.
Well, more than encouraged. Actually, he explained to us what verbling was, and then each one of us had to go and prove our mettle, which we've both done, and you more so than me, but yes.
And this week, folks, we have an interview with the founders of November Project, Brogan Graham and Boyan Mandarich, and two of the leaders of the Boston Tribe, Emily Saul and Chris Capozzi.
And?
Yes, sir.
A little pick-me-up hello with Caleb Daniloff again.
That's what I was getting to. Thank you for stealing my thunder.
Absolutely. It's like a best of. It's like a best of November Project.
So if you have any interest in November Project, if you've heard of it, if you've done one of their workouts in any of the 29 cities where they are,
crazy,
you're really going to like this. And it's we did it live after the Wednesday Harvard Stadiums at Harvard Stadium.
We're going to put a bunch of pictures actually in the timeline of this show. So if you want to go right to SoundCloud to play it.
Right.
You can see sort of a visual walkthrough as we're going through because it is...
And I'm sure we'll release them in Facebook and social media and stuff because the visuals will really help. Here's one thing I have to say, Peter. I'm a man over 6 feet tall, weigh about 180 pounds.
You look good.
When I go to a concert or something like that and I stand up and I look at the stage, I usually have no problem seeing over other people.
You're of height.
Okay. I think you snapped a photo of me while we're speaking with Brogan and Boyan.
And I tried to help you out.
And it looks like they're standing at the top of a very steep ramp, and I'm standing at the bottom of a very steep ramp.
On your knees.
On my knees. And yet, no, we were both just standing there, and they are so much more tall, handsome, muscular.
Vivacious.
Funny, and just all around more spectacular.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. And
then your humble host.
And it's very rare to get both of them together nowadays because they are living in separate parts of the country.
Right. One lives in the Boston area. One lives in San Diego area.
So, folks, strap in. This is going to be you're the fly on the wall in the back of the Harvard Coliseum after a big workout, and you get to see.
All right.
The,
well, we're starting with Caleb.
Oh, I know.
And then I think we're going to come back after that and just do a quick how you doing before we play the other one. You want to do it that way?
Let's go give it a go. Let's go now, travel back in time to our quick catch up with Caleb Daniloff.
Yeah. Wait, this isn't the bowels?
This is the upper intestine.
What's that?
This is the upper intestine.
All right. Hey, Caleb, how are you? How is your double stadiums today?
It was tough, actually, but actually the second half was easier than the first, which was amazing.
Did you put less pressure on yourself, or is
I think
just,
that was it? And I stopped and talked to people, but you know, I was running the whole time. The first half sucked. It was super humid, hellish.
No sun though yet.
No, but it's thick. It's thick.
It is very thick. You can taste it.
Yeah. Tell us.
I could taste you, Brian.
No, I was chasing you, so I got your sweat in my face.
How goes the book tour?
The book tour goes.
Excellent.
You know, we're just, pushing it when we can. And, I think the tribe has gotten more attention. There are more stories have been told. And,
yep.
Today's show, how was that? You guys were
good
on the Today
America.
Show. Or Good Morning America,
Good Morning America
that rather.
That was fun. It was definitely, some national exposure. You know, as we were talking afterwards, it didn't quite, because it was sort of a staged workout.
Yeah, yeah.
So it didn't quite capture the full vibe, you guys being here today is perfect.
Right,
it was great.
You know exactly what it's like, and you can sort of impart the color and that sort of thing. So,
what is on tap for you in terms of races?
So September 10th, I'm running the perimeter of Manhattan with some friends, which is 32 miles.
Excellent.
Is that an official race or just
it's
for fun?
Just a, it's just a, it's a fun run or, yeah. you know, a hell run.
Uh-huh.
A lot of concrete awaiting me.
Time limit or no time limit?
No time limit.
Okay.
A friend of mine from the Heron Project, Pam Rickard, is running it, and a couple November Project people from New York City are running it.
Wow.
So doing that, and that's sort of as part of training for a 50 miler I signed up for.
And where's that one going to be?
That's Stonecat and Ipswich in November.
Excellent.
So I don't know.
That'll
scary.
Be a great one.
A little scary.
November.
Deep yeah. November or early November?
It's going to be my November project, right?
That's right.
It really is.
It is early November.
Okay.
So November 5th. For four 12-mile loops.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, right. That fourth one's going to be tough to say yes to.
Yeah.
That'll be great.
I know. I'm in denial still.
Right,
in denial.
Right.
I figure I'd just do double stadiums for until then and hope for the best.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. What's the longest that you're doing training runs right now?
I'll probably do like back-to-backs. Like so I'll do like maybe 20 on a Saturday and then maybe 15 on a Sunday.
Wow.
Do a couple of those.
That's a lot of miles.
But I'm not doing like, you know, a 40-mile training run.
Right.
Like,
but how do you feel on the day off?
Okay, actually. I actually just I just switched my diet to vegetarian with the thought of going vegan. And so I feel like it has impact in my recovery.
Yep.
Like I'm not brutally sore the next day. I mean, I'm still a little sore, but you know, I feel like I can go.
Where are you getting your protein?
Muscle Milk.
Yeah.
And you're publishing stories about this, right?
Yeah, I'm doing actually a blog on Runner's World for it.
Awesome.
So almonds.
Are you allowing yourself eggs?
I am allowing myself eggs. Okay. Lots of avocado.
Yep.
You know, I'm doing a lot of, you know, a lot of soy.
Yep.
A lot of, you know, meat substitutes.
Yep.
You know, it's slowly but surely. Yep. But it's been interesting so far.
Do you
far.
See yourself going vegan at the end of it or not yet?
I'm going to try it. I'm really? Going to try it and see, you know.
Post-race.
I mean, after, I used to be a very big meat eater. And after, when I quit, you know, when I went vegetarian, I went into a huge slump. I was sure it was like I was detoxing.
Yeah.
You know, going through withdrawal.
And like, you just felt bad?
I felt fatigued. I lost like a minute on my average pace.
You didn't have the reserves, the energy,
no,
ready
and
energy.
And it took about, I'd say, 4 or 5 weeks before I came around, and now I'm running faster. I have more energy. What about you guys? What do you have on tap?
I'm actually going to do heart rate monitor training.
Oh, wow.
So I've been talking to people about that. So I'm going to try that out.
I'm
for
scared
this.
To go into that territory.
Yeah. Well,
I'm
really,
obsessed with those numbers.
Well, that's why I avoided it, because you can get over data, right? You can get too much information. But really, the point is slow down at the beginning so you can speed up at over time.
Right.
And I think really what everyone has said is that it forces you really to slow down, so you do those long miles very slow and strengthen your engine. So we'll see how it goes. Yeah.
Cool.
I need to do it. I don't want to get injured again. And Peter's
you're doing
dealing
New York,
with something
right?
serious.
I'm trying to do New York. I just came from the doctor yesterday, a specialist. I have Achilles tendonitis in this one. I have post-tib tendonitis in the right. So I'm a little depressed right now.
Yeah.
But I think it's on the edge of just enough time if I really can get back.
Yeah. I've had that happen. I was training for Chicago, and I had a lower back issue and set me back like 4 weeks. And
yeah,
you just do what you can on race day.
Yeah.
That's it. So it's a mental thing too.
It's hard because when we started this podcast, I found I had a hip issue and I couldn't run for 3 weeks, and then I went on for two and off for another three. And it was like 6 months of just. Now it's such a distant memory, though. You know, I'm like, I feel good. I'm actually excited to start training. Whereas that was just this, I realized, you know, the 3 months prior to actually going to the doctor and getting an X-ray. I was just grinding myself into like more pain, denial.
Right.
It was bad.
Injuries
are really hard.
I was a good 2 weeks late going to the doctor.
Yeah.
I really should have gone. Yeah. And I was just scared. I was scared of what I would hear.
At our slightly advanced age, it takes a little longer to recover.
And you don't want to hear those horrible words like, you have something, you need to stop running.
Yeah. That's what I was afraid of.
Yeah. That's
but
the
I
worst.
Should have just embraced it. And so if anybody can hear this and say, oh, I have a nagging thing, you go to the doctor, just do it. Just do it. It's why we have healthcare.
Caleb, if you have one thing to say to our listeners, what is it?
F yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you for keeping it clean.
Self-censored on that one.
Self-censored, we appreciate that. We don't have to beep you again. That's great.
Well, you're gonna have to do some serious bleeping with the guys.
That's all right. We can
See
warn
if you can
everybody.
Get Rogan to come out of his shell a little bit.
Okay.
You know.
They both seem so timid.
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to draw them out gently and safely. But anyways, great seeing you guys.
Right, good to see you.
And I'll see you next time.
We'll do more. We'll do more. Right. Thank you.
Cheers, brothers.
Good. Awesome. Thank you. That was fun.
Huge thank you to Caleb Daniloff because he showed up, he made that happen, and if I'm not mistaken, it is very hard to get the two organizers of the November Project in the same space now, right?
Brogan lives in San Diego.
See?
Boyan still lives in the Boston area. They live literally on opposite sides of the country and are flying around all over the place. So to get them both at 7:30 a.m. on a Wednesday in the bowels of Harvard Stadium next to an abandoned Dippin' Dots pushcart.
Crazy. I honestly thought we'd get a 5-minute, hey, hope you like how you're on today, listen to us, blah, 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 tag. And what we ended up getting, what people are about to hear, is a good 30, 40 minutes of them sticking it out and talking with us about a million things. And their energy is endless. And their openness is
Their complete. Energy is as enormous as their imposing physical bodies.
I couldn't stop looking at their forearms.
You certainly couldn't see the top of their heads.
No, it's cloudy up there like Mount Washington.
And huge also thanks to Emily Saul and Chris Capozzi, two of the leaders of the Boston Tribe, who were just sort of helping us get to the right place, and we invited them over, and they came and stayed, and that's actually how the interview starts.
Great. They were great.
So those guys get a mic. You'll hear, we start off, I think Boyan has the mic first. We didn't give a microphone to Brogan to start off with, and you'll see why, because he takes over in a good way.
In a good way, but yeah.
But for everybody else to get heard.
Yeah, no, it proved to be strategic. It was good.
So much thanks. I hope we get to do it again sometime. Oh, one other thing, Peter.
Oh, yeah.
When we arrived, and Caleb was introducing us because he was the glue that made this whole thing happen. We were so excited about it. Brogan gives us both a big November Project hug.
Yeah.
And he goes, you're a little dry.
Yeah.
Feeling the back of our shirts.
And that's because you had yet to do the workout, and you went to go, and you did a full 30 sections, I think.
I did the 30 for the Frogman workout.
And I remained very dry because of my injuries, so I did not perform. And there was that quick moment there during the hug where I think he was assessing whether or not he was going to give us any time for an interview based on participation. Yeah,
are these guys the real deal or not? But it right. wound up all ice melted. These guys are full of goodness, kindness, open hearts, even if it sounds a little bro-y in there during the interview. It's not at all.
Sounds more brogany than bro-y.
Well, that's true. Hey, let's dive in.
All right.
All right. So our audience knows a little bit about November Project. We interviewed Caleb a couple of months ago. I've come and done a bunch of Wednesdays, so we've talked about it.
What's your stadium record? How many sections?
It was 38.
38 the guy is your stadium
talking,
record?
Stop the interrupting, time, yeah. Emily
okay.
Saul.
Yeah.
I did Summit Ave in Brookline.
Beautiful.
That's a hill. That's a
it's
real
a, it's
hill.
It's a strong hill.
I love that hill.
Thanks for coming.
I love driving right by it. Thank you for having me.
So I have a question. We know what the workouts are. What's the rest of your lives like? What do you do when it's not after at 7:30 on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday?
We have jobs. I work for the Life is Good Kids Foundation. It's a nonprofit organization.
Yep.
So I usually change my clothes real quick and go show up. And
are you a playmaker?
I am a playmaker.
Awesome.
Yeah. Are you familiar with the
yeah.
with Kids Foundation? Awesome.
Fantastic. Great. Yep. Where are you traveling around?
I do a good amount of traveling. Mm-hmm. So we provide personal and professional development, and so working with organizations in New York and Minnesota and all around Boston and New England. So I'm pretty busy with that.
Awesome.
That's great.
And so you have to work out at 5:30.
I do. I'll tell you what though. We've started a trend in the Life is Good office of random push-ups throughout the day. So on the ninth floor of 51 Melcher Street, you can get anywhere from 2 to 12 people doing sets of push-ups five or six times during the day.
Do you have like a bullhorn or something?
No, we it's just a look. Everyone kind of feels the vibe, and we look over at each other, and we just all get up, and we meet in the push-up spot.
Nice.
We make
you just
a ring.
Know. Yeah.
We stare down, and we drop to the ground.
I can believe it because I actually I feel like you're telling me to do push-ups right now. Just that look. Shall we? Oh my God.
Shall we?
We'll end the interview with one really good push-up.
Okay.
Perfect.
We have a very similar thing in our office that's about burritos.
Oh,
we just look at each other.
Burrito time.
Yeah.
And we know it's burrito.
You just know that it's time for burritos.
Burrito. Yeah.
Yeah.
BG wants to say something.
No. He wants a burrito.
BG always wants to say something, and that's why I'm holding the mic.
I have a quick question for you guys. Have you guys...
I like not having a mic.
Sorry, BG.
Have you considered... Have you guys considered a brunch project or a sunset project? Ooh. And I just mean that from a scheduling perspective.
Absolutely considered, and we'll never do it.
So it's always a morning thing.
Yes. Yeah. You know why?
I'd love it to know.
Because no one is doing anything in the morning.
So get them going.
That's right.
Okay, so you're... So you're tapping availability. Okay.
It's also the best way to start your day.
Yeah,
right. Because you can always find an excuse. You know what? I have this project that I have to do during the lunch.
I'm really a night person.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
At 6:30 in the morning or 5:30 in the morning. Like even teachers, they have to be in school at 7.
Right.
Like, just wake up 30 minutes before, right? You know, and go do something and you should be all set.
All right.
I want to talk about something. This is actually a great interview setup. I was just talking to Capozzi here, Chris Capozzi, the leader of the Boston movement. He and I have no microphones, so we have to get permission from our mom and dad.
Which is probably the best plan of action,
it's a Muslim
right?
technique.
So good.
And there's no chairs. Do you like how there's no chairs?
I see anything.
Chris, what do you do when you're not at November Project?
I probably shouldn't tell you guys because I don't actually do a lot outside of November Project, but I am an architect, technically.
Okay.
But my day consists pretty much of November Project. Social media, hyping,
so you're responsible for the
jumping around.
The witty and supportive social media posts?
I'm not witty
posts.
At all. I'm not funny. No.
I think they're witty.
Funny one. She's like the voice of everything. I take photos and make people look better than myself. So I'm really good at like making other people like look really good and then me look shitty. So they're bad.
Are you the best?
That's going to be a bleep.
That's a bleep.
Yeah.
That's a bleep.
Look bleep.
Okay.
I'm the benchmark for looking bad.
How many photos you just take during this run?
Anywhere from 3,000 to 6,000.
And how many hours will it take you?
It's like 150.
Yeah, I know. But how many hours will it take you to sort through that and get them out to where you want to get them?
It depends. So anywhere from like an hour to 2.5-3 hours, depending on like the day and like other interruptions and stuff like that. And then we coordinate. We write a blog as well.
Yep.
We do social media, so we'll get one out for social media, Instagram, stuff like that.
And you do
like
it day
like
up.
I'm just like ready to put this in my mouth. This mic.
Yeah, it goes right up
in there. It goes right in there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just want to point out that he said other interruptions of like a job
that doesn't
happen. That pays the bills.
Does he have
it? He's interrupting with his hobby.
Right.
That's right.
Which is...
Well, we're very familiar with that notion. We're very familiar.
We're familiar with how a podcast can interrupt other responsibilities.
But you can see how lucrative this podcast is because of our elaborate setup here.
Yeah. And then you just get like the stuff that you don't expect every day. People reaching out to you, asking questions, things like that. Yep. And there's recruiting. So there's like a ton of things that are involved in.
Chris, do you ever have somebody say, hey, I've been coming to NP for like 3 months and I never get a photo up on Facebook.
Yeah,
what's the deal? How short do my shorts have to be?
Sometimes people just, I think it's the photographer's fault. I think it's my fault. I'm just going to put the blame on me. Everyone looks good in all the photos and I just select. So we've got this new thing we're doing, and I think it's a great tactic for me especially. So we put tape on the shoulders of all newbies.
Oh,
so
if
you first layer put tape on,
so it's easy for
that
you
way,
to
so I can spot them, take photos of them, tell them about, look at the album later on, tag themselves, and that's a good way for us to connect with them. It's also a good way, some days we have 50 newbies.
Right.
And it's almost impossible for us to know who's new and how do they, and we know that they have a great experience. So now we, the leaders, and also everyone else in the tribe can find those, spot those people out, find their names, give them a hug, show them what we're all about.
Awesome.
So,
And is this, what's the biggest NP in Boston? The biggest day, the biggest
event?
How many people
have
you had? What was the record, do you think?
Yeah, you just saw it. The record was 2014 in November when we had over 1,500 people.
Oh,
1,500?
1,500 people.
Yeah. Oh, my.
And that actually also happened to be first workout that BG and I were not leading. So,
Well, that tells you something.
The week before that, I know, right?
Okay,
I got really good when we quit.
BG and I, the week before, decided to pass on the reins to the new leadership, and the following workout, the attendance doubled. So it just tells you how awesome we are not.
Arnott was actually in the building.
There was a really strong recruiting push prior to that. And I think BG actually paid people to show up that day.
Yeah,
it was not only free, you actually earned money.
Yeah, see, I think, first of all, Emily, that's true. I thought that was kind of going to be a secret,
sorry.
But I guess that's exposed now. I will say, though, that, you know, when I asked people that day why they showed up, because we did have a big jump that day. We'd gone from about an average, like 800 people to 1,500 people that day. A lot of them were saying they just came there to check out Emily Saul's body, which I thought was pretty like intense just to come right out and say that.
Yeah.
I actually can't look over this way.
Right.
Do you see what I have to do?
I'm actually going to hide behind the ice cream.
I'm
going to grab a Dippin' Dots and get out of here.
Emily Saul named her biceps.
What are they?
Steve.
Well, once upon a time, I wanted to be an American Gladiator, if you recall the resurgence of the TV show.
Oh, yeah.
And so I applied and made a video to be on American Gladiator, and I named Thunder Lightning.
Hold on, I need a picture of Thunder and Lightning.
Keep going.
Thunder and Lightning.
Go again.
Thunder and Lightning, and the abs were the clouds rolling in.
All right, give me Lightning.
Oh my gosh. Oh, you have the American Gladiator photos, the originals? Awesome.
Would you ever do, what's the new thing now?
American Ninja Warrior.
Yeah, that's a big one.
I think I'd actually destroy the show. I would destroy the show. I don't want to embarrass anybody, so.
Understood.
You think you're like tall enough to like grab the stuff? Like you could grab the rings and then climb the wall? Look, I love you. I think you're great, super strong. But like seriously, you could do the wall stuff?
Brogan Graham actually
is under the illusion that
I'm 4 feet tall because he's a giant.
Okay, so, but
if
you're
anyone,
saying...
If anyone hasn't seen Brogan Graham,
I can't even see the top of his head, actually.
7 feet, 10 inches tall.
You can
tall.
Run the ramp and grab the top edge of that quarter pipe.
Brogan, is it true that you were Chewbacca in The Force Awakens?
You know, yes and no. It was me and another guy.
Yeah, but you did the stunt work.
All the stuff, to get thrown from the train, that was me. Down the stairs, that was me. I saw a different movie than most people, but...
Definitely.
It was Chewbacca on a train.
There's going to be one now.
Yeah. Chewbacca on the plane.
Let me ask you a question.
On the plane.
I can't stand all these Chewbaccas on a plane.
Speaking of height, I came here about a month ago during our lunch hour. I tried the stadium I wanted to do it in secret. I wanted to try.
That's what I, yeah.
I got the low span, right? So the question is this stadium in terms of step height one of the biggest in the country? Or are they all about this size? And then the bigger question for you two is, on your home planet, how big are the stadiums?
On my home planet, stadiums are about 3 times as big.
Okay. It actually presents a challenge for you.
Yeah, so that's something for real.
So this is actually walk through the park for me because I'm so awesome.
So fit,
super fit. I'm an ultra marathoner and open water swimmer. No, so these are the tallest... The tallest steps.
I don't know, folks. I don't know if he's telling the truth or not. It's impossible to tell.
Yeah, his straight face is just
he's
impeccable.
He's definitely an ultra runner.
So the steps are harder than anywhere else.
These
unless
are.
You, yeah, yeah, because they're taller.
Yeah.
Most of the stadiums have seats, and then they have sections in between the seats, and most of the people run those steps, which are regular size steps that you would have in your building or your office or whatever. The bleachers that we're running here are double, maybe 2.5 the size of a regular step.
They're tall.
And they're pretty tall and they're pretty long. So if you're power walking, it's pretty intense. Like you have to push off your legs.
I say it's like 14,000 lunges. It's amazing.
It's amazing.
And if you're running, like you really have to drive with that knee up. So
there's also a rumor that the stairs are technically taller at the top than they are at the bottom.
They are.
The biggest thing I was freaked out about was actually coming back down because you have to be so, it's a little bit like trail running, you have to be so focused on every step.
Yes.
Do you ever have anybody get injured?
Very, very rarely do people get injured going down.
Yeah.
If there are any scraped shins or bloody knees, it's because you're going up.
Yep.
Yeah, you missed a step or you kind of like...
Right. During the 5:30 group in the winter, like twice I've seen someone slip just when it's been
how do you deal with ice
who shovels
that would be me. That's not true. The shovel crew.
Wow.
Hashtag shovel crew.
Which I just want to say, sorry, I have to interrupt this conversation right now.
Stop.
When Brogan and I used to lead, we decided one day we're gonna show up before the workout, the night before workout, we're gonna shovel up the steps. And the workout the next day is going to just go as planned. We invited maybe like two more dudes, three more dudes, okay. and we shoveled two or three sections tops.
Yeah.
Done.
And it took us a couple hours. And right. it was fun, and we were telling jokes, and it was a cool experience. We ended up eating pizza afterwards, and it was fun. Overnight, as we were leaving, it started snowing. Ugh. So the next day, it was like we didn't anything. So we just gave up. We just decided, all right, so when it's snowing, we're just moving the workout mm-hmm. across the street to the track.
Okay.
This girl, Emily Saw, so last winter was the most insane winter we had in yes. Boston.
That's when we trained for the Boston Marathon. And that
was awesome.
Crazy. Props to you dudes.
Yeah.
Awesome.
She, every night before the Wednesday morning workout, every night she would organize the shovel crew, and they would come out and clean the sections and break down the ice and put the salt.
No salt.
Well, no salt.
No salt. We respect the stadium.
Because you don't want to ruin
salt the salt damages so concrete. Yeah. Yeah. So ice chippers. I own more shovels and ice chippers than I ever thought I would.
Holy mackerel.
And not just the stadium. So there are instances where on our Friday morning workout at Summit Ave, there's a set of steps yep. that we wanted to use yep. as a spice. And she also shoveled those steps and chipped the ice on those so people can run them and not get injured. So props to Emily Saw.
So if you have if there's a snowstorm on like a Tuesday, does Harvard call you and like, hey, the stadium's, we need the stadium clear today. Can you guys come a day early?
Yeah, we're contracting out shovel work now around the city. It's a good way to make some money yeah. in this world of free fitness.
Okay, can I ask you to give the mic to
oh my gosh.
BG and both of these guys?
Both.
I have a question. Can you tell us what is World Takeover?
Don't interrupt me. World Takeover is, World Takeover started, it was just like trash talking, right? We were just like, I think November Project started with, because we were just like trying to tell big stories about like, this is something, come join us, even right. when it was just the two of us. I think we started saying World Takeover because we thought that as we watched the Boston tribe grow and grow and grow for $0 and built on simple ingredients of kindness and hard work, really hardcore workouts. I think we thought that those components could be cross-cultural in any city in the States, in any country in the world. And we used to get laughed at. We'd say, World Takeover, we're going to take over the world. We're going to be in every city. And people would laugh their faces off. Right. You guys are delirious. And then we were in seven cities and people were like, oh, wait, what is the name of the group?
Right.
And then we were in 20 and now we're in 29. So in four countries, two of the tribes are in Europe, 27 of them are in North America. Like we're aiming at being in more impactful places around the world, not necessarily following big markets or big important city names, but places where great leaders exist and they want to make change, positive change. And if we didn't have all these people rising and shining this morning in 29 towns, we wouldn't be so sure of ourselves. But I think we're kind of proven World Takeover correct. I think you're going to start to see more tribes popping up in Europe, in Africa, in Asia, in Australia. Still waiting for some leadership in Antarctica, but I don't know.
We'll see. Antarctica?
South America would be amazing. We don't have any contacts there yet.
Can you confirm that it's an MIT laboratory where you're building and creating group leaders? Because they're pretty astonishing and unique individuals.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do it.
There's an old classic film called Frankenstein, which is about, I think it's Emily Saul's great-grandfather.
You're a Frankenstein? Ooh.
Had bolts in his neck.
Right. She comes from the long lineage of Frankensteins.
If you're going to have bolts in your neck,
yeah.
just think about this. It's good to have them symmetrically placed on each side, right?
That's
Frankenstein could have had one front to back. Then he's getting his hoodie caught.
Right.
Well, he had lightning and thunder.
Right. 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 Right.
Right.
Up on the high. On the high.
Bringing it around.
Frankenstein loved a good
positive,
hoodie.
Negative.
You know.
Yeah.
What about the rumors?
Shorten out the circuits.
Cuddle up on his wooden couch and watch them.
How about the rumor that there's a November Project feature film in the works and/or animated project or Netflix limited series? Go.
It's not a rumor. It's all true. Including the Netflix series. I don't know about that one. But yes, there's definitely a short film by our friends from Deucer, supported by our friends from The North Face. It's a project that will tell the story unlike any other story we've done in the past, which is the story of the movement told through the eyes of our members. Most of the films we've done in the past have been around the events mm-hmm. or around the leaders. This one will be surrounding members, and they're all incredible, very powerful, very different stories, but it kind of is a cross section of the movement in general.
How can our listeners find that?
It's launching this fall. There will be some screenings. I think there will be some, the ideas are still kind of tossed around.
Late September.
Nothing is concrete yet, but we'll let you guys know as soon as we know more.
It'll be on the internet at some point, which is built into a lot of home computer systems and some of the smarter phones. Boyan just went in recently to get a new phone, and instead of upgrading, he went back to an iPhone.
You have a touchstone phone?
A flip phone. He said, hey, can I trade in this 5 for a flip phone? They're like, sir, you're crazy. We're going to have to ask you to leave. I want a flip phone. I'm not leaving until I have a flip phone. And he sure enough, he got one. He got his way. He gets his way. That's the thing with Serbians.
The internet's a good idea, because right now we just broadcast a podcast with a tape recorder on my front steps. And
what?
People gather around and listen. So I think a bigger broadcast opportunity is in the works for us.
So the days of boombox over your head are gone?
I ran out of D batteries.
Man.
You know, they're expensive. We don't have a big budget. Like November Project.
Right. Do you
funds
have,
are limited.
Right, yeah. Right.
Do you have... All right, our audience is primarily midlife-ish, borderline midlife-ish.
That's a nice term.
Runners, but maybe not elites, maybe some sub-elites and some just trying to get out there and see what's what.
So our people.
I think so. The question is, what word of advice would you have for people? Because we do have listeners all around the country. I'm sure there's a November Project near them. What do you want to say to come on out? What entices them?
Get out of your way. I think people get in their own head that they're like, oh, I'm not fit enough. I need to train in order to come to the workout. No. Get your ass over to the workout.
That's a fact.
And it will be...
Actual height.
It will be hard the first time you show up. And then you're going to come the next week and the next week and the next week. And you're going to keep getting better. Nothing is easy when you try it the first time. So you just have to get at it and keep coming back and staying consistent.
I would like to add to that if they come to November Project or not, like do stuff.
Do stuff.
I think a lot of people want to meet new people and try new things. They're like, that sounds cool to say.
Yeah.
So don't come to the Banner Project, but get out of your house and talk to the mailman. Or get to know the waitress's name or the bartender's name. Like, I just feel like people that live in communities, cities especially, like, man, why aren't we talking to each other? Why aren't we as friendly as
everybody
we
has their earbuds in.
Right. So put your phone down after you post something brilliant. And then keep it down for 30 minutes and see how many people you can meet. Go for a jog. See how many people you can high five. It doesn't have to be about NP, but interacting with people. And trying harder, right? That's mine.
It's incredibly hard to tweet while you're running stadiums.
I disagree with you. I strongly disagree.
It's a skill I don't have.
You have like a mouth guard while you're doing it, just because you know the dental bills have added up over the years.
Going down the stairs, especially going down the stairs.
Yeah. The small crimson stairs.
That's where I get hurt.
The small crimson stairs. So guys, you're no longer group leaders. Obviously, you live on opposite sides of the country. What do your days consist of, and what's next for November Project?
Yeah, you didn't ask us.
What do you do at 7:30 on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays?
Well, I go home, I eat breakfast, and I take a nap.
Yeah, I usually sleep till the next workout.
Yeah,
usually,
which is on Friday.
Boyan is a baby, so he changes diapers.
Mm-hmm.
I have.
You have a wife.
I have
Cheerios.
A trophy wife, so I parade her around. Recently she told me that's not funny.
Yeah, it's probably not going to be funny here either.
No. No, so I have a surfboard. I live in San Diego now.
Okay.
So we do that. Our actual jobs are fueled by the North Face. We have a great partnership with those guys.
Mm-hmm.
They years ago saw what we were doing, and we actually spent an entire year of 2014 in a really subtle limbo partnership with them, just to kind of see how both sides would play fair, play nice. And that is the main partnership that's fueling the movement. It's the reason we can get our leaders together once a year, which is a huge event.
That's big. Yeah.
It takes.
So they host the NP Summit?
And we do it, around one of their Endurance Challenge weekends, a trail race that happens in six different markets. So this year is up in Blue Mountain, Ontario. And, planning an event like that takes a fair many months of the year. I think one of our bigger tasks also on a day-to-day, week-to-week, and seasonal basis is connecting these leaders. Sometimes you have a newer leader in a smaller tribe that just needs to talk shop, and how do you guys recruit? What are they doing there? And to be able to give them advice, sure. You know, Boyne and I do have a ton of learnings from what we've built here in Boston.
Sure.
And at the same time, it's a little bit more fun to say, you know what, that's a good call, John from Kansas City. They were dealing with that a month ago in Philadelphia. Why don't you go ahead and give Dan Leo a call? Because that actually is something that he's pretty psyched about right now. And to be in the control tower a little bit and just and not exactly follow our marching orders,
right,
but share best practices, I think is, it's probably one of my favorite parts of the job.
And keep in mind, we used to do this while having full-time jobs.
Right. So, when it was just your show.
Yeah. And it was our 9 to 5 that was paying bills, and then our 5 to 9 that was our passion. And our lives were suffering. Our relationships were suffering.
Absolutely.
And,
well, this podcast is killing our lives.
But you're,
it looks like you guys are wolfing
awesome
away
every time you pull it out.
It's right? Amazing. It's unbelievable.
It jumps up.
It does.
And actually, pressure of our wives drove the decision to get our heads out of our butts and really do something about it, because my wife was like, all right, so you've been at it for 2.5 years, you're approaching 3 years, either this is going to be your hobby and you're going to kind of tone it down a little bit, or you're going to go all in and make it your career. Right. And you know, we're obviously super passionate about it, so we decided to take that step.
I also think that early on, you know, Boyne and I were and still are really weary about number one, letting people help us, because we are, this is our baby, you know. November Project is something that we created, and we're super passionate about it. So, you know, if the world only knew the number of offers and things that came to our door,
sure,
from 2011, from the very first month to when we, you know, signed some pretty important paperwork with the North Face, you know, it came down to who really gets this,
right, you know,
and it was, everyone wants to sprinkle hundreds of high flying, high energy folks that with expendable income on whatever they're doing. Hey, we started this app. Hey, we have this new fruit drink. Hey, do you guys want to fly on JetBlue? Hey, you know, and we fended off a lot of terrible to pretty okay offers along the way for years, and the world will never know about it. What was exciting?
We're the exact same way. Same. It's like hearing my own story. It's awesome.
It actually is like looking in a mirror.
It's unbelievable.
A funhouse mirror, because you guys are gigantic.
Right,
and
right.
And
right.
Kind of normal.
It's through time.
Size.
It's 20 years ago.
Tall and thin with like huge feet. Yeah.
And
like
just extremely happy with yourselves and who you are.
The folks at North Face, led by a woman named Katie Ramage, were able to get to Boston. And I think a lot of people like you guys, you know, you got to go experience this before you consider on, say, a new run club's in town.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So you get here, you're part of the Sweaty Hugs, and then they wanted to talk about how we could play. And
you don't call it a run club anymore, because it's not.
It's not. It's something so much bigger than that.
Totally.
There we go.
But speaking of running.
It's not a run club.
But speaking of running, are either of you about to do any races in the near future? Are you running as a thing? Just to talk to our audience.
We both signed up for a bunch of stuff.
Yes. I'm signed up for shorter stuff than Brogan, but he is an ultra marathoner and open water swimmer. So,
oh my God.
I got into ultras because that way you can hide in the woods and run super slow.
Yeah.
And you can totally go to the bathroom at your own pace.
And if you finish.
And bring sandwiches.
And no one knows what a good time is, too. He's like, yeah, I did that 50K. It took me 17 hours. People are like, it's like,
what,
50 and 17.
What was the elevation there?
Yeah. Yeah, that's not divisible.
You see the elevation profile, and people are like, okay. And then you basically get out of conversations.
Yeah. Right.
It's like telling people you're a paralegal.
And
people are like, all right, let's move on.
Glaze and walk away.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. I heard something. Let's be done. Yeah, I do. I have a swimming race this weekend, which I'm not a swimmer. It's up in Casco Bay. It's 9 islands, and you're tethered to your teammate.
Are you going to float, or what are you going to? You got to swim,
though. You have floating wetsuits.
You're using your teammate as a float.
I'm using him as a motor.
As a motor, right?
Me.
Wow.
It says 4 miles of swimming and about 12 miles of running.
Wow.
And then Boyne and I are doing the endurance challenge in Utah.
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. And I'll be at the one in Utah and the one in San Francisco.
Both in San Francisco, yes.
So are these part? Is this all part of the deal? All part of the.
Absolutely.
Is this all part of the North Face deal? So other events, these events are part of what you're doing now?
So the races are the part of the North Face Endurance Challenge.
Yep.
And we have access to those races. Our tribes are also in those locations. So in Wisconsin, we have Milwaukee and Madison, and Chicago is also not too far away. Minneapolis is like 3 or 4 hours away. So the one in San Francisco, obviously there's a tribe there and a bunch of Californian cities. They like to come as well. So it's a nice little way to get our members excited about a race, to put something on a calendar. And, you know, these races are some of the best trail races we've done, but, you know, they're also smaller local races that people are signing up for. So we encourage our members to set a goal, put it on a calendar, and train towards that goal.
How's the Millinocket Maine tribe doing? Because I'm running a marathon there in December. I could use some support.
Yeah, there's no leader and there's no tribe. Other than that, they're strong.
There will be.
They don't host workouts. They don't know about it.
There's a lot of potential there.
We're excited.
Yeah.
You can tell we're excited.
Are you jetting off to Millinocket right from this interview?
Set that up.
Yeah. Actually, the North Face was originally aiming at one of their prime markets. It was New York City, LA, Chicago, and then Millinocket, Maine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That might come around still. I mean, once you do it and we podcast about it,
that's true.
Right.
Would you guys ever consider attempting the Barkley?
Oh.
No.
Okay.
No.
Good answer.
Thank you. No. That makes four of us.
I feel good now.
I couldn't imagine.
You've seen the documentary?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's
phenomenal.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
And my wife, we saw it together and she was like, "Would you do it?" I'm like, "Absolutely not."
No.
That's
the first thing my wife and kids are like, "Dad, you should try that." I'm like, no, you don't even know what each lap is like 13
and
hours.
And it's also not like, I don't even think it's like an ultra running.
It's not a race. It's not a run race. Yeah, it's
like, no, it's survival.
I feel like a mountaineer or like a...
It's a little Blair Witchy.
Total Blair Witch.
You know, and it's a little mousetrappy, and it's a little like pull the page from the book.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally.
And the winner has to go in the basement and like stare at the wall while they kill the other guy.
It's a little bit like Clue.
I'm not... I don't... My running resume is not as colorful as my friend BG's.
I'm an ultra guy. I don't know.
You're an ultra guy.
And an open water
swimmer, island
swimmer
guy.
So my first and the only marathon that I ran was Boston Marathon in 2006.
Nice.
And then I took 10 years off because I crossed the finish line.
It was a taper.
I said, "F this sucks. Yeah. I'm done."
I say that after every run.
So I ran a bunch of 5Ks, 10Ks. I actually never ran a half.
Half is fun.
They're fun. I mean, I ran a half many times.
Today, you're probably just going home.
Right.
But never in a race.
Yeah.
And then this year, I signed up for a trail marathon, and it was tons of fun. So it took me about 10 years to go from that first marathon when I said, "I'm never doing this again," to kind of forget about it and run a marathon this year again.
If you had to go back, would you do 26 on the road or 26 on trail?
Trail. I'm never going back on the road.
Yeah.
Talk more about the difference between road and trails real quick, because we have our listeners really are a mixed bag, as are we actually. I'm much more a road guy. He's much more a trail guy, although we both mix around. What is it about one over the other?
And there's different kinds of trails. There's like basically a dirt fire road, and then there's single track, real technical stuff. Right, which do you guys like?
And also depends on what side of the country you're doing it. So East Coast is way more rugged, technical routes, rocks, riverbeds, and stuff like that. Whereas out west, you have more elevation, but it's more it's wider and not as technical. But you know, elevation gets to you. I prefer trail. I would rather do trail than pounding the road, just because it kind of brings me back to the days both Brogan and I used to row, and brings me back to those days of rowing, where all you're focused on is, especially in the winter training, that erg rowing machine, just staring at the screen and just looking at that pace, and that just bothers the crap out of me.
It's awful.
I would rather
it's torture.
Go out and have
fun. Right.
So it's the opposite of that is what you're saying.
Exactly. So when you're on the trail, like, you may be running 10 minute miles and you're winning the race, you know,
but you're fully engaged with that trail.
Exactly.
You're seeing things.
What's your go-to trail in the Boston area when you're out and about?
Fells
for sure.
Yeah, I've done Blue Mountain, but I get lost, or Blue Hill, sorry.
Yep.
But I get lost there a lot. So Fells I know pretty well, so I like that.
Yeah, I don't know Blue Hills at all. I did a road race out there once, but yeah. But we both kind of transitioned to trail. I think it's a huge influence by the North Face. Seriously, like
probably
a lot of our new running heroes are like those thin folks that live at 10,000 feet and casually do, you know, 5,000, 10,000 feet. you know, in a run.
And you think better up there.
Right. The air's totally. Better. And
yeah.
So
I had an experience last November. I was out in Boulder and I was running the base of the Andiron mountains there by Chautauqua. And I told Peter afterwards, I felt great. You know, especially coming from the East Coast in November, you're out there and it's unimaginably beautiful and you feel like you're just rocking it.
Yeah,
and then like four gazelles in just shorts and no shirts. It's 40 degrees out in snow.
Right.
And they just come right past you like you're nothing.
Right.
Like, where do they grow these people?
Totally. And the answer is like right there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Actually, Boulder, they just sprout up out of springs.
Yeah. They have a factory of them.
So real quick, I know you guys have to get going soon because I think we're actually starting to see the November project get a little tired. We're going so long in this interview. I think I'm seeing their nap
time.
They actually just need omelets.
When are we starting the
interview?
Problem.
Are we starting the interview?
No, we don't do the interview till about 10:30.
Okay,
So he's going to do...
When the actual technical crew gets here.
Right.
Brian is going to do Millinocket in December. In November, theoretically, I'm running New York. The question is, I have been diagnosed with Achilles tendonitis in the left, post-tib tendonitis in the right. We were talking earlier, tendonitis, what a pain.
Yeah.
What do I do? Doctor says don't run 4 weeks.
You
do
other
stuff.
Doctor.
Yeah, do other stuff.
I spent from the ages of like 16 to 29 or 30 not listening to the doctor.
How'd that go?
Not well.
Okay.
Oh, well, it's fine. I mean, I wasn't always like, you know, injured, but last year I was injured almost the entire year with like a knee thing and an Achilles thing. And then like
all inflamed, all painful,
totally.
Tight.
Yeah, and right. So, you know, the classic stuff, right? When someone says, oh, how's that going? You're like, it's terrible. The knee's still bad. And they say, have you been icing it? And have you been resting it?
Are you elevating it?
Are you elevating? And you're like, no.
No.
Then you're like, well, you're not trying. You don't care that bad. Right. You just want to whine and not run, apparently. So I say do the basic stuff. Man, it's crazy how much ice can help. And then I've also found that footwear is really important.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And
learning all
with
that.
The wrong shoes and the right shoes. And I'm injury free this year, and I'm racing more than I ever have. And
nice.
I'm the oldest version of myself I've ever been. So,
well, no matter what anyone else tells you, you guys look pretty good.
Thanks, man.
Right? I mean,
thank you.
We'll take that.
You know, in the category of all the ultra marathoners and open water swimmers I've met.
I was going to say metahumans. All the metahumans that
top
I
30.
Know personally.
Top three. Wow.
Yeah, you're
wow.
definitely in
so
the top
wait,
three.
So wait, who's second and who's third?
Aquaman and Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Aquaman's actually really good on the trail. Dude loves
a good
50 miler.
It's weird. Except he keeps
and
trying
he's
to
holding
talk to
his breath the whole time.
He's got that orange scaly shirt that he just won't give up on.
But you can see him. So no
sir, you
got to
put on a bib. Sure. He won't do it.
He won't do it.
You will not mistake him for a deer.
Guys, do you have either gear or app that you're in love with right now?
I do. What's your app?
Not the app. I couldn't care less.
I use
about
Google
apps.
Maps.
Wait, is this going to be a November project? App that up?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, weather app, so I know how many layers of clothing.
Nice. What's that? What do you like to use?
Just the weather.com.
The weather app?
Weather.com or weather channel.
Right.
The weather channel. I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's just to know how many layers.
Okay.
It's not, should I go out or not? It's
right.
Just how to prepare.
Exactly.
Right. When do you make the shorts to pants transition?
Right.
For as long as I can.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But as far as gear, I really like the North Face better than Naked Jacket.
Oh, you took my answer.
Haha. it's super lightweight. It's just warm enough when it's really cold. Because mm-hmm. I also run hot. I'm like, in the wintertime, I'm the dude that will be in short sleeves, maybe gloves on, and a hat sometimes. So like, it's just light enough to keep you warm, but... it's also a great jacket just to kind of like tool around in, you know, in that fall transitioning into winter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's super stowable. You can just kind of ball it up and throw it in your backpack or...
Do you race in it?
No. I race in just shirts, maybe like a
long sleeve shirt.
Tighter fitting, long sleeve, like a tech tee or something like that. And that's only if it's like super cold outside. So... probably just a regular tee with like those arm sleeves or something like that. But
okay,
like I said, I run hot. So
yeah, he did take my answer, and I actually have all three colors of that jacket. Better than Naked. It's easy to remember. Better than Naked. But I am doing some longer stuff, and I am on trail these days. And there's a pair of shorts that came out with tons of pockets. Yeah. That also have a built-in boxer brief in them, which I know is kind of like polarizing. Do people love that? Do they hate it? I love it.
I need it.
Yeah, there you go. Kind of like, you know, organization down there.
Yeah.
And that's called the Long Haul Trucker, or the Long Haul Short.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably my favorite piece of gear right now is my new Avengers Thor ring.
Nice.
Which, this is my fourth wedding band that I've had. I've only been married 2 years. And I lose them when I go swimming and surfing. And so this one was $10 from Newbury Comics. It's on the sale rack. You got to hustle now because they're gone.
They're gone
fast.
Now. They actually just left.
They're
was
gone.
It. Was
so it. Avengers Thor ring, you'll just have to just see the photo. That's it.
Okay. Do you guys use music or do you go soundless? How do you go?
I try to go soundless.
Yeah, no jams.
But then I do it once and I feel like I'm having an out-of-body experience.
Okay. Yeah,
so,
totally.
So maybe that's the way to do it. So right. Like you're training right. without songs, and then you go in for your long run, and you put songs, and you just drop it.
And it's like you're floating.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. I have this like I'm very fond of this one experience I had when I was running the Philadelphia Marathon. This is back in the day. I don't know if it's still this way, but it was kind of like one big loop for the halfers, and then they finish and the full marathon
go
out a different set of ears, a different loop. And I was at the my girlfriend passed off a tiny little iPod, mm-hmm. and I had a playlist that was like super high energy, and that last 13 was like a party.
For the next half,
yeah. Right. So first half is like listen to your breathing, quiet football, whatever, and then the second 13
self-talk.
I was like
self-talk,
totally. Second 13 I was like this is gonna be terrible no matter what, so we might as well have Busta Rhymes with me,
sure,
you know. So yeah,
excellent.
Music's good, but I don't think no apps. I don't know
weather apps jams. Good. That's the first time I've heard that. I like that.
Make Instagram.
I've got one last question.
Last question. Here it is.
We do a thing called Strap on the Feedback, which is all about either the foods that you eat because you're working out, or that you feel you can have when you're working out, or that you love post
a shame
out.
Food. It can be shame a
shame food.
Right. Things you earn.
You earn.
Maybe you don't. You secret away.
Do you guys have those? Do you strap on the feedback?
Strap on your feedback. Come and get it.
I can't really say I'm shameful of anything. I mean, I just like to eat whatever tastes good.
My beer intake could probably be trimmed.
Yeah, you do throw it down every now and then.
Is that a almost daily thing, or is it on the weekends?
It's nearly daily. But I think like when I've known each other for like 15 years. We met in college, and I think back in the day, because we were rowing, we wouldn't drink six nights a week.
Yeah.
And then you go have like 10 nights worth in one night.
A few.
Right.
So now that I'm an adult, I have like a beer or two every day.
Yeah, but that's the secret killer right there. That's the problem.
Right. And there's a lot of cals.
Yeah. It's a lot of water.
I might cut back on that.
Well, I call it a gateway drug in the sense that, oh my God, these three awesome IPAs I just had, and I can eat an entire pizza like a taco.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Fold it up.
Burritos, though.
Oh, man.
Right. Cut it out. All right, hold on.
No, I'm actually on the burrito diet. That is my diet.
But you're doing
it because I eat one burrito.
But they're the small.
It's a cheese and beef, the Amy's burritos.
Oh,
this is how I actually do it.
He's not going
to really modest
breakfast. Los Amigos.
And then I eat those little burritos for lunch and then whatever I want for dinner.
Where's your place to go to get a
burrito? It's
working. So I live in Alston, so there's Amelia's right there.
Nice.
Very nice.
On Brighton Street.
Yeah.
And no Boca's anymore.
No Boca.
San Diego, where do you get it?
I go to a place called Taco Stand.
It's amazing. Right?
It's actually the Taco Stand or Taco Surf. And they do a really good California burrito, which has like avocado, potatoes, and then usually in the form of French fries.
Ooh.
And then like added chicken. It's gnarly. It's awesome.
What does NP San Diego do on Wednesday?
So they meet in Balboa Park, which is like their icon. We call it like, depending on where in the park you are, like they have different names for some of the. You know, there's they call this one section Honduras because it looks like the jungle. There's one section they call Barcelona because it's these really grand stages and things like that. But there, Balboa Park, they used to be the convention center downtown. They got thrown out of there and they made a bunch of noise. But at the same time, they found Balboa. Balboa, I mean, you say to anyone in San Diego County, Balboa Park, everyone goes, whoa, that's cool. It's a really iconic place.
Yeah. Yep. Awesome.
Guys, thanks so much for taking time out.
This has been great. Thank you for having us.
This is really fun.
Do we get to keep these shirts?
You get to keep these shirts.
Guys, thank you. This is awesome.
This is really fun.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us, friends.
And I can go pull the parking ticket off of my car.
I'm sure it's been towed.
That's right.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you out there.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Peter, that was kind of huge.
Yeah, right. I feel inspired and good, and I think their words have helped heal all my tendonitis.
Have you become an ultra runner and open water swimmer?
Well, I already was one. No, I think...
that's a heck of a hashtag.
They were just great. Everyone was great. Emily, Chris, Brogan, Boyan, Caleb. It was a jam-packed show. I can't even handle it.
Thank you.
I mean, I don't expect anything less, though, for episode 40, right? We have to do this.
This was a celebration episode, and I think we've delivered.
I hope so. Tell me, how's the store, Brian?
It's coming. Hey, let's go right to the credits.
No, wait. It's going to be where now? Tell people.
No, I'm keeping it a secret.
No, you're...
Because the people are going to go there, because we're actually prototyping right now. And if people go to it, they may be disappointed because they think they are getting a final product, and it's not a final product.
Okay, but you stand by your pledge of September 1?
Yeah.
Oh, God bless.
It's coming.
I love it.
Yeah.
Hey!
This has been super awesome episode 40 of How Was Your Run Today with Peter Villa and Brian Gould. Music by Jeff Cronenberg. Anna Brooks is our social media guru. Andrea Bonnie Gould is our artist in residence.
Many, many, many November Project thanks to this week's guests, Caleb Daniloff, Emily Saul, Chris Capozzi, Brogan Graham, and Boyan Mandarich.
Listeners, please contribute to the show with your voice memos. For email and social media links, go to our website, howwasyourruntoday.com.
Listen to us each and every week wherever you collect podcasts. We happen to keep ours in an abandoned Dippin' Dots pushcart underneath the stadium stairs there at the Harvard Coliseum. But wherever you visit that special podcast place, please give us a rating and a comment. Every single one of those makes a difference in how this little here show is ranked.
And if you love HWYRT, please share our posts on social media. It's free and it's easier than building your biceps into lightning and thunder. Hey, Peter. Enjoy your physical therapy this week.
Yeah, I'm going to do a lot of stretching and icing, and I'm going to think about how, you know, these next couple weeks are going to go by while you're running and I'm not, and I'm not depressed at all.
Listeners, help him, please.
Send me good vibes.
Lollipop, lollipop.
I'm a giant man, I'm a giant man, I'm a giant man. Okay. I'm so big. I'm even gianter. I'm bigger than that last guy.